And welcome back to City Talk. Riley Johnson right here with you, Mayor Dan Alexander's weekly good news radio program. But we're honored to be joined by some ladies from Baby Reed. Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We are doing good, Riley. Thanks so much.
All right. I'm going to turn the show over to you, and we'll go from there.
Welcome to our listeners. This program is entitled Baby Smart. And I'm Janice Garcia. I'm a volunteer for Baby Reed, a local organization serving Oconee County families with children between the ages of birth and 3 years old. Our mission is to develop a love of reading in these children and prepare them to be successful when they enter either K-4 or kindergarten. My co-host is Kathy Whitmire, a member of our advisory board. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. I'm a retired educator from the school district of Oconee County, and I'm presently the owner of the Center for ADHD, and that's where I work with children on focus and attention and emotional regulation, and I'm so happy to be here.
And our guest today is Carolyn Estepa, a speech pathologist who has worked with children as young as 3 and adults as old as 90. During her 40 years plus in the field, Carolyn has a BA in speech-language pathology from the University of Florida and a master's degree in speech-language pathology from Ithaca College. She's worked in many areas of speech and language, from the Lancaster Cleft Palate Clinic to Head Start, private practice, hospitals, public schools, home care, and long-term care. Our conversation today will focus on vocabulary building in young children and the importance of a rich vocabulary for success in school and beyond. Carolyn, why is it so important that parents work upon building their children's vocabulary from a very young age?
Vocabulary is your building block for everything else. If you don't have a good vocabulary, you won't understand what's going on in the world. When you read, you will have no idea what you've read. You may be able to read the words, phonetically sound them out, read the words, sound very fluent. But if you don't have that reading comprehension, it's never going to process itself into the part of the brain where you're actually learning. So that's part of your education.
And can I just ask also, is there not also research that shows that children of poverty come in with a significantly less vocabulary than
absolutely. It's not just children of poverty. That we don't want to look at it as the well-to-do families, their children are going to do better in school than the less well-to-do families, but we call it an impoverished language. So you can be from a lower income and still have lots of books in your home. You don't have to buy those books. There are many programs that will send you books, or the library is absolutely the best resource. Go to the library, check out 5 books every single week for your child, and let your child pick those books and read those books every single week, and read them over and over and over again. And yes, it has to be before they start kindergarten, because research has shown that if a child starts kindergarten and has not been read to and has not been experiencing books, and I am not talking about a Kindle or an iPad, I am talking about a real book that they open, that they look at from left to right, that they know how to turn pages, that they see that the pictures are related to the vocabulary in the book or the story in the book. When they enter the kindergarten level, it will take them kindergarten, first, and the end of second grade before they can ever catch up with their peers. And this is going to give them a very poor start on school. We talk about head start. This is not going to be a head start. They are going to be behind. And that's going to affect their personal feelings about themselves. They are going to feel like a failure. They're going to become frustrated. They're not going to want to speak up in class. All of this is going to affect them the rest of their educational life. So birth to 5 years is extremely important for children for building their vocabulary.
I know that in the past you actually worked with children who were at the kindergarten level who had come in to the classroom without that background. Tell us about that experience. Tell us about the school and how many children within the grade level you generally were working with, how much time you spent working with them.
As a speech-language pathologist in a public school, a lot of people think of speech as only, oh, my child lisps, so you're going to fix that. My child stutters, you're going to fix that. Or my child says paschetti instead of spaghetti, and you're going to fix that. What I did mostly in my school was more language development. And when we talk about language development, we had children that didn't know what a turkey was. That is basic vocabulary. So if we can build their vocabulary, we can build their fluent language. In my school, I had four sections of kindergarten. I saw every one of those children, not as a pullout. Some of them were a pullout, which means I took them out of the classroom, sat with them either one-on-one or in a small group. But I saw every single one of those children once a week in their classroom because they all needed language development. They could not put a sentence together. I used sign language and I used songs like Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, and we did the sign language to it. And they learned to put whole sentences together verbally and sign. It wasn't just sign, it was verbal and sign. They just liked the sign part of it. They thought that was really cool. And we also had a transition classroom between kindergarten and first grade. I went into that classroom once a week to do language development. They needed vocabulary. We also had a transition from first to second grade. I went into that classroom every single week. And my second graders, I would say, I had 50 kids on my caseload. I would say 95% of them were kindergarten to second grade, and those were my pullout kids.
So was this a school that just didn't have smart kids in it?
Absolutely not. We had some very smart kids, and I loved them. And some of the things they said made your hair raise, but they were bright children. But it was in a low-income area of our city. And they asked me, are you going to have a problem teaching in this low-income area? And I said, no, why would I? I loved it. We had the best teachers. But we also had kids that were like sponges. They wanted to know what a turkey was. They wanted to know what ice skating was. This was in Texas. They had never ice skated. They didn't know what ice skating was, but they wanted to know all about it. So we read a lot of books. I used books all the time in my pullout and in my classroom. I used books every single time that I saw these kids.
So these children obviously were not in a language-rich environment before they came to school, and that was what caused this problem of lack of vocabulary. What can our parents do? I mean, you've mentioned going to the library, but once they get to the library, what kinds of books should they be selecting for those children, those babies, those infants?
Well, here's the thing, is language-rich environment does mean using a lot of different activities to build language. So you have your normal language at your toddlers that you're saying, sit down, get your book, get your plate, let's eat. Those are all normal, everyday conversations. But you want to have a rich language where you want to start with board books. When your babies are babies and you're nursing them, there is no better time than to take a little board book and read. And they may not know what you're reading because they're a tiny infant, but it gets you started, and their brain is storing these words, whether you know it or not. They are. So you start with that, move on to easy readers. There's so many resources that can help you with that. But the most important thing is sit and read. And it doesn't have to be time consuming. I found that the best time to read to my four-year-old was when I was nursing the baby, because inevitably I would start nursing the baby, he would start acting out someplace else out of my reach. So if I picked up a book, he was right next to me then, and I could just read to him. And then my daughter, even though she was an infant, she was hearing all the same things.
I want to ask you about nursery rhymes. We, you know, we think nursery rhymes are just so old-fashioned. But what is your opinion about reciting or reading nursery rhymes to infants?
Reading nursery rhymes to infants, to toddlers, even to five-year-olds is really, really important because it has a rhyming, it has a rhythm. Children like that. They like that. That's why Dr. Seuss was so popular, was because of the rhyming. And children will memorize those things. And when you talk about a rich vocabulary, if you use the old nursery rhymes, Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Children don't know what fetch means. They don't know what a pail is, but they can put it into context, and eventually they see the picture and they see, oh, he was picking up a bucket. Now they've got a synonym. They've got a synonym for picking something up. They've got fetch. They've got a synonym for bucket. They've got pail. Now he tumbled down and broke his crown. They thought he had a crown sitting on his head. They may ask you, where's his crown, mommy? And you explain that another word for skull is crown. Now they've learned two new words. They've learned skull, they've learned crown. And building synonyms is very important. That is part of vocabulary building.
So I think we did talk that you said, you know, start reading to your children even as infants. When do you stop reading aloud to a child?
Oh, you never stop reading aloud to a child, never. They love that time. That is a bonding time. That is a time when only the two of you are absorbed together in something. You're not on your phone. They're not looking at a screen somewhere else and isolating. That is such a bonding time. I have a grandson who is 7, and every single time he comes to visit us, he says, Grandma, will you read about the Emperor's new clothes? That has become one of his favorite stories that I read to him, and I jump at that chance. When he says, Grandma, can you read The Emperor's New Clothes? I grab that book, and he and I are sitting together, and then I will usually read that one, and then I'll go to Puss in Boots, or I'll go to Jack and the Beanstalk afterward, because I want to keep him there, and he loves it when I read to him. So even when your child is reading on their own, it is still important for you to sit with them and read to them, because they love your intonation and making the book come alive and all those kinds of things. That early readers can read the words, but they may not know the intonation. And you put that intonation into that, and it brings that alive.
So how does reading aloud help a child with spoken language and with brain development?
Well, brain development is, excuse me, is very interesting, because we have synapses in our brain, and these are connections, and those connections are happening all the time when you're learning. So even as young as infancy, you don't know what's going on in this little child's brain. They are putting synapses together, and that's why when they start talking, they may use some of the language that you have used that they don't even know what it means, but they've heard it and they're going to use it. So it's very important at a very young age, because brain development is happening from day one.
Absolutely. And, you know, we talk about the windows of opportunity, and that is primarily between even pre-birth to 4 years of age, and the vocabulary and the language development. And oftentimes, people don't understand the difference between receptive language and expressive language. So you might want to touch on that just a little bit, because I had a parent one time say, why should I talk to my baby when they can't talk to me?
Oh, that's such an excellent point, Kathy, because there is a difference. Receptive language means how much language you understand, how much you receive. Expressive language is how much language you can express back, how much you can say. So yes, your small infant child may not understand, or even your toddler may not understand when you are saying to them, I have to rearrange the cupboard. They don't know what rearrange means. When you start doing it, now they're receptive and they're saying, oh, rearrange, that must mean put things in the right order. Now, they're going to use that word again when they are playing with their toys. They're going to say, I'm rearranging them, which just makes you like love it, you know, that your child is using. So using rich language with your children, even if it's an everyday activity, is very, very important because they're receiving it. Their receptive language is going to grow. As their receptive language grows, their expressive language grows.
And I often tell parents, talk out loud. Whatever you're doing, whether you're setting the table, talk out loud about what you're thinking about. We need four plates because we have four people who are going to be eating with us. And so this also helps develop that receptive language.
Oh, you're right about that. I remember when my sister had her first child, and she talked to her all the time. And she explained things to her all the time. And she was just little. She wasn't talking yet. But Janice would always explain to her what she meant by everything. And that child talked very early, and even before she talked in intonation. She would babble in intonation so that you knew what she was actually saying. And I was always amazed by it and thought, this is so wonderful that she's explaining to her child everything. And it was just like you say, everyday things. I'm setting the table. I'm putting the plates out. I'm putting napkins out. Things like that. It wasn't sitting the child down and going, okay, this is this and that, you know. But it was very educational.
In addition to reading to infants and toddlers, Baby Read stresses the need for parents to talk to their little ones from birth, well before the baby can comprehend or reply. So this is what you have been describing, basically. Just narrate
absolutely.
Your life, and mm-hmm. it's not just giving direction or giving demands. Or
oh, absolutely. It is important to give directions, but it is so much more important to build their outside vocabulary, to read a book about Africa, read a book about a safari, giraffes, elephants, what they do, what their habitat is, a history book, so that they can understand why Paul Revere, you know, was out on a horse running through Boston. Those are things that you're not going to talk about every day when you're saying put your shoes on. Absolutely, they need to know the normal everyday things, but they also need to know so many more things that is going to enrich them and help them, not only in school, but in life. They're going to have, they're lifelong learners.
And when I taught reading, we did a lot of experience-based reading. And another thing that when I talk with parents is you can make your own storybooks. Fold some paper and make an experience story about what you just did. We went to the corn maze, and you can draw pictures, and then you can write words. And when you personalize it, also, it has a stronger meaning. So you can make up your own books, and it's not anything fancy. Just fold some paper in half, staple it, and go to it.
I love that idea. I actually have a grandson who wrote his own book when he was about five.
Yes. I have a granddaughter that loves to write books, and her other grandmother started that because she was a teacher, and she had the same ideas that you had, Kathy, and she started, and Joanna loves to write those books.
We even use it with helping children develop routines. So this is what we do first to get ready for bed, and you have a picture of them. You can even take a picture of them brushing their teeth, and then you turn the page. What do we do next? So there are a lot of ways to incorporate reading and vocabulary development in just daily activities, too.
Absolutely. And reading should be a daily activity. You read all the time. You can't do math unless you are a good reader. Because math is you have to be able to digest that problem. And if you can't read, you can't digest.
Well, thank you so much for being here, Carolyn and Kathy. Thank you, Riley.
No, you're so welcome, ladies. Always a pleasure to get you guys in here. And, of course, if you're in your car and you want to know how to get in touch with Janice, Kathy, or Carolyn, or any of these folks that you heard today with Baby Reed, remember you can call City Hall and ask for me, Riley Johnson. I'll make sure I get you the numbers.